Body, Mind, Spirit Radio, your life connection to the information for a healthy body, an enlightened mind, and a renewed spirit.
Good morning, everyone. You're listening live with Calling All Leaders and Healers with host Barbara White. Barbara White is a gifted intuitive, holistic therapist, and spiritual teacher. She is the creator of the self-acceptance process and has a master's in transpersonal psychology and eco-psychology, a diploma of homeopathy, and is a published author. Called the Midwife to the Soul, Barbara has ignited hundreds into knowing their inherent worth and facilitated the birth of their innate gifts. Barbara is the owner of the Accepted As I Am Center, certified in advanced auricular medicine, Shambhala Master, Reiki Master, Qigong Practitioner, and is a black belt in Isshin Ryu Karate. Her books, Why Self-Acceptance is So Powerful, and Self-Acceptance, Process, and Magnificent View are available on Amazon. Barbara's drive and passion to teach comes from knowing that if someone is willing to look within and grow, they can be a healer and leader to others. And now I give you your host, Barbara White.
Thank you so much, Courtney, and thank you for that introduction. It's always strange to hear different parts of your journey and how they've unfolded. And so much of our life is holding a North Star to serve, a North Star to love ourselves and to show up in every aspect of our life with love, with presence, to take the stopper off our hearts and off of our creativity and allow it to flow in all areas of our life. So welcome to the Calling All Leaders and Healers. Today I will be have the joy, the pleasure, the extreme excitement to host Andrew Harvey, the creator of sacred activism. If you've ever heard him speak, if you've never heard him speak, this is going to be a huge treat. If you have heard him speak, then you know what you're in for today. It's just such a passion and power that he brings forward. Last month we had on Ann Coleman and Stephanie Cohen, and that was just really profound. If you haven't listened to that show, they talked about how the body holds memories and traumas in it, and how the body is actually an indicator of what's going on in our spirituality and who we are. And really, Stephanie's work brought forward a way of finding authenticity and finding that self that wants to express through our impulses. And Anne's work in bioenergetics really has a powerful application to being able to free yourself from suffering, from pain. So if you didn't check out that show, please listen to it. It really incredible resources here in Detroit to really access those greater parts of ourselves. So welcome again to Calling All Leaders and Healers, where I hold the vibration, the energy, the knowing that as you look within and you love all parts of yourself, both dark and light, that you birth within you love, you birth within you God, you birth within you the energy of creation. And then as you do that, then you're called to action, right? Then there's all the little ways and maybe big ways that you can bring forth that love in your life. And too often I find that people look for things outside of their life to act upon instead of looking directly at the person that's right in front of them or looking at that thing that is calling them forward at work, that our life is the life of God, that our life exactly how it is the place that we need to serve, that we need to show up. Of course, we can put this in another way, which is the moment we accept, the moment we transform. The moment we stop fighting with conditions, the moment we stop fighting with things we don't like and we yield, we let go, we bring compassion, we accept, then we can really begin to ask more empowering questions like, what is wanting to emerge through me? That every challenge, every problem in my life is actually a new quality that wants to be born. That everything in my life that is pressing against me is actually calling me forward into more of myself. You know, that the chicken wouldn't leave the egg unless it got uncomfortable. And right now, of course, I don't need to tell you, we are in the United States. We are uncomfortable. We are feeling incredible discomfort. We are in a rites of passage right now, an initiation. And in this discomfort, I'm holding a vision and knowing some great things are being born. So if you're listening to this show, you are hearing that calling. You are hearing that calling to become more yourself. You're hearing that calling to bring your gifts on the planet in only the way that you can. That which doesn't mean, and I love when we speak to Andrew Harvey, it doesn't mean constantly just loving yourself, loving yourself, loving yourself. That he speaks in his book of the marriage of the mystic and then the activist, which he calls the sacred activist, which I'll speak of more later. And so knowing that there are qualities and gifts within you, that you've heard that calling, and that there's inner work every day, there's inner work that needs to be done to bring that forward. There's meditation, there's journaling, there's working with a mentor, and there's going online, maybe listening to this radio show, so that spiritual study, and all the ways that you do your inner work, all the ways that you love yourself, it really does matter. All the ways that you can bring awareness to the parts of ourselves that we don't love so much. Because we all have hate within us. We all have fear within us. We all have, we're like a big, beautiful tree, right? And too often when people are in the spirituality or religion, they spiritually bypass. And what I mean by that is they avoid the fear. They avoid the hate. They avoid the parts of themselves that they don't like or they've been told that are bad. And it's really, the paradox is the more that we bring awareness or love to the hate, to the fear, to the parts of us that maybe want to kill sometimes, that then we realize that we're the whole tree, and then spontaneous realize that we're the whole forest, that we are part of the infinite. But how painful it is to constantly try to hide some branches with a tarp and then accentuate other parts of the branches. I was working with a student yesterday, and she had done lots of work in positive thinking, and it was trapping her to such a degree that was creating all sorts of digestive issues in her body. And how counterintuitive does it sound when I say to somebody, stop thinking positive? And what I meant by that is come into your body. Notice what's happening in your body. Notice the tension there. Notice what your body's trying to tell you, that it's trying to tell you there's some anxiety and fear and anger there, and can you be with it? Because when we can love hate, when we can love fear, when we can love the tension in the body, we, of course, like I said, realize that we're something more. And this is a never-ending midwifing our own soul process till the day we die. Because once we begin to love things associated with our mother, our father, what have you, then we are called to work on the collective consciousness or our family. We work on our ancestral consciousness. See, consciousness or energy is a real thing. And we have, there's many tools to be able to work on these pieces. So I don't want to just imply, okay, go ahead and love your hate and fear. Do it now. Boom. Then we need these tools of meditation. We need these tools of journaling. I highly recommend you work with a mentor, somebody that is not afraid to go into the shadow, but also somebody that doesn't get trapped in the shadow, the hate, the self-attack, someone that has an awareness of spirituality, like Stephanie Cohen and Ann Coleman from last month, like similar to my work. But there's so many people that have that balance of spirituality and psychology. There's so many teachers that are really being called to the forefront right now. And that's why, of course, the title of the show, Calling All Leaders and Healers. Because there's an incredible calling out there for people to really, and it's this, as I love Andrew Harvey says, it's radical action in the world. Compassion and inaction. Compassion, inaction. Or you may have heard things like love is a verb. So that ability to go within, that ability to be with the things that cause discomfort, it's a practice. Because everything in our world tries to pull us out of that. Of course, the I love what Beck was called, the media, the mass distraction, the media of mass distraction, as he puts it. that we can go on Facebook, we can watch a show, and we distract ourselves from our own internal processes. Or we get distracted with food or an addiction or all these ways that we can distract ourselves. And so it's that paradox that when we go and we face how much we hate ourselves. And if you think you don't hate yourself, if you ever wondered why you do the things that are not good for you, and we all do it, right? Nobody, if you're in human form, we all do it, and it's okay. So don't get so hard on yourself. We all, on some level, hate ourselves. And then it's bringing awareness and maybe even a sense of humor or curiosity to the self-hate. Self-hate can also disguise itself as unworthiness. It can disguise itself as shame. It can disguise itself as just believing that you can't be yourself and be loved in the world. Be yourself and be loved in your world. In the world, like I can't be myself at work. They wouldn't accept me. I can't be myself in my family. They won't accept me. But the paradox is, until you give yourself full permission to be yourself, do you even feel love? Did you hear that? That's important. Until you give yourself full permission to be yourself, can you even feel love in the world? Can you even feel love in yourself? I just was amazed yesterday at some of my sessions that just how that belief shows up. Because we can only experience our beliefs and our perceptions, correct? I would love to experience the beliefs and perceptions of Christ or Buddha, but I have Barbara White's perceptions. And so we see the world how we perceive ourselves. That's why as we come into a love of the hate, the fear, the doubt, the worry, or a compassionate witnessing, or we just let it be there. I mean, if love or compassionate witnessing is too much for you, just let it be there. Make space for it. Stop trying to avoid it. Stop trying to run from it. Just love all parts of you as they are, and then you organically, spontaneously shift into a greater knowing. And at the same time, I don't want to make this a 1-2-3-step process, that this is actually a lifetime practice. A lifetime practice. And if you're in physical form, then you're not done. I got so much more to love and accept in myself. I'm telling you what. And because myself is you. Every person I work with, I'm actually loving pieces of myself, and that's why people spontaneously shift in me. I'm not doing anything. I'm just loving myself. Every time I witness suffering or pain in the world, I see what part of me is in resonance with that hate and that suffering. What part of me is Donald Trump? What part of me is Hillary Clinton? What part of me is the hate in the world? It's that radical self-responsibility, that radical self-acceptance. So I am currently, just to know how I'm loving what I'm flowing in. I'm waiting for Andrew Harvey to come on the show, and I got two emails from his. Just letting my producer here, Courtney, know, two emails from his assistant that he was calling at 10 o'clock. So this may be a spontaneous teachings of self acceptance process and me talking, or we may have Andrew Harvey coming on soon. But I know that. Sometimes when you have these people that are so called in so many different ways in the world, there can be, there definitely can be some limits to their time. I know when we brought on Marianne Williamson and I got to host her for The Tears to Triumph, that amazing book that is very similar to what we're talking about today, but and with Andrew Harvey, but it has its own unique flavor. Incredible read, Tears to Triumph by Marianne Williamson. Initially when we tried to bring her on, the time got a little confused. So it happens. It's okay. Nothing happens by coincidence. So just notice in this moment, notice what's coming up in you. A lot of times when we hear these kind of teachings that are talking about loving all parts of ourselves, non-dual awareness, what comes up is the very thing that needs to be loved. The thought that needs to be witnessed or accepted, the limiting belief about yourself or your life. Maybe notice what's happening in your feet, your legs, the lower half of your body. So you don't have to, race and know what the next step is. If you can become more and more present to what's happening right here in this moment, not only do you settle into a place of peace, a place of compassion for yourself, but you're able to see what that next step is. I don't know if you know this, but there's a way to watch fear, doubt, worry, anger, your thoughts, to feel pain but still be in joy. There is a way, to say that again, to feel pain, fear, doubt, worry, anger, sadness, a limiting belief, and still be in joy. Would you like to know how? Are you putting your hand up right now as you're listening to this? That subtle reaction that comes when fear comes up, anger, sadness, or maybe it's even, for some people I find it's what would be labeled the positive things, like sexual energy, pleasure, happiness, joy, that when these energies come up, because emotion is just energy, and I like to hold that love is not an energy. Love is our state of being. You know, love with a capital L. So a love that includes all things. Love that is not the opposite of hate. A love that is all branches of the tree. So when these impulses come up, whether it is self-hate or shame or it's pleasure and sexual energy, there's a reaction to it. There's a running away from it. Or there's a grasping of it, a grabbing of it. I'm going to figure this out. I'm going to wrestle this to the ground. I'm going to get to the bottom of this time. And either approach, and I'm not really saying anything any of the wisdom traditions haven't said, attachment or aversion, so classic teaching in Buddhism, that as we witness these impulses, these energies that come up, and we have less, we're able to catch the reaction, the initial reaction. Now, if you don't catch the initial reaction, what's the next thing that happens? What's the next layer we put on that impulse, that energy? It's a limiting belief. So the next thing is we create a limiting belief. This is my fault. This is somebody else's fault. This is bad. This is not good. This energy. Like sometimes when somebody has done a lot of inner work, they use a lot of reference points from the past. And what do I mean by reference points from the past? I mean, they go, oh, well, I know what this is. This comes from my mother. This comes from my father. This is from this. This is from that. So now you've missed the impulse, that the running away or the grasping. And now you're adding a limiting belief, a thought. That thought, you know, temporarily in that moment feels supportive. It feels helpful. But ultimately what that thought does then, it leads to the next layer of crap on top of the pain, which is a pattern of behavior. So now I have a pattern of behavior that will be created from this. I talk about the six main patterns in the self-acceptance process of what we do. It also correlates with the chakras. So again, this is my unique flavor of what I bring to the planet, but it has a foundation, a rooting in the wisdom traditions. And so the six main patterns are feeling responsible for others. Now that sounds all romantic and beautiful, but responsibility in the sense of you think someone that you base your happiness on somebody else, your husband, your wife, your partner, your coworker, and you find yourself complaining in your head that they need to change, or you're giving them advice in your head, or you're complaining about them, right? So that's the first layer of that codependent, also codependency, responsibility. It's like that's the main way we try to avoid ourselves. Second is controlling of conditions. Third is proving perfection and pressure we put on ourselves. Fourth is overgiving, we identify as the martyr. And fifth is we hold back our expression, you know, fifth chakra, throat. And six, we have a fundamental fear of love, a fear of God. Now, I know I just said a lot there, and again, that's I'm not going to go into each of those. We're going to be spending in January, spending 6 months on those patterns that are created. And those six patterns are what I call perceived protectors, and we think they're protecting us. So I'm going to circle back, though, and just talk about, so we have that impulse of fear, doubt, worry, anger, sadness, or pleasure, or sexual energy. And then we add the limiting belief to that. And you can just ask yourself, what is the limiting belief I'm thinking right now? It will come up. You can talk to your own, when you talk to yourself, right, you have your subconscious, your conscious mind, and your superconscious. And your conscious mind can talk to your body, your subconscious, and get answers. But once you get the answer right, again, don't try to wrestle it to the ground. Don't try to fix it. Awareness heals. When you're aware of something, you let something be. You let it be in your field, it begins to shift. If you try to fix it, wrestle it to the ground, run away from it, it actually has more power over you. Again, the self-acceptance process or midwifing your own soul or coming into non-dual awareness, words for the same thing, or becoming, as Andrew Harvey calls it, a divine human on the planet, words for the same thing, is being able to, it's the opposite of what we do in the world, right? If the tiger came at you, you would run away or pick up something to defend yourself. In your inner work, when the tiger comes at you, you have to be still. That's why tools are important. Tools of journaling, meditation, working with a mentor, getting into nature, chanting, breath work. We need all of it. I don't know about you, but I use all those tools every day. Every day. I'm actually amazed at people who don't and how they stay sane. And when somebody attacks somebody or hurts an animal or hurts a child, I'm like, well, God, how did they not do it? And I'm not being funny here. I'm serious. Like, how did they not do that without doing some form of practice every day? And then being told by religion or spirituality that to think positive. That's a bunch of bullshit. It traps people. It's why people are so in so much pain, trapped in these theologies that don't give them the tools. It's very sad. So back to the impulse, I haven't forgotten, and then the limiting belief. And then that becomes a pattern. And then as we begin to live that pattern long enough, right, then it becomes a story about our life. Now I have a story about myself. This is who I am. Once it becomes a story and you don't recognize it, that's when you're in trouble, right? Because now the story is, well, I just can't do that. It's just not possible. Or that's just not who I am. I'm just not one who dreams big. Or the story is that, well, you know, money's for other people because, you know, only bad people have money, and I'm just one who's going to be poor. I mean, there's so many stories, right? So we create this. That story could also be called a self-identity, a limited self-identity. I'm always gonna be unhealthy, and that's just who I am. And we gotta be really honest about these stories we've created, right? These limited self-identities, and it can be pretty scary to look at this, right? Because we are fucked up as humans. So it can be really humbling. Recently, I'll give you one of my stories. So, you know, I've been doing this inner work actively since my transformation in 23, 24. And my hero, my mentor, said I was going to hell for being bisexual. And that started my whole journey. But that was just the beginning, you know. It's like, that was just like cracking open the eggshell. And yeah, I could see angels and hear and direct energy and hear and be very psychic, but I didn't have, it was like just the beginning of my growth of like, and I still feel like a beginner. Because as long as I'm in physical form, I am messing up and making mistakes just as much as you are. But at least I, you know, like anyone else, we have the option to learn from them. And the word mistake is, it means to a retake. We get a retake in life. And it's also knowing that in the meantime that's not contrary to the beauty, the love, the joy, the greatness that's within you, that's within me. See, again, we try to always compartmentalize ourselves. It's like, I know that I'm an incredible midwife to the soul for people. I know I'm a soul activator. I also know that I have a sexual fire and passion, that the creativity that goes into everything that I do. I have no apologies for that. But I also know I have times of being really insecure and reactive and judgmental. And I take ownership over that and love it as much as I can and learn from it. Because every time I do, I get a shift into more of who and what I am. So we're never done growing. We're already whole. We're already complete. You're already beautiful. It's like you're already the creation. I am already our Christed selves, our Buddha selves. And at the same time, we're waking up more and more and more to that. And as we do that, that's just not an exercise in contemplating our navel. What that is actually every time we wake up to another level of who we are, we actually affect the collective consciousness. We pull it out of the energy of reactivity and fear, and we shift into a powerful, powerful new paradigm, new energy on the planet. So recently, this is my 10th time of teaching the self-acceptance process, and I'm very excited about it and excited about the course because, and excitement's not the word, but just have such a deep knowing of how powerful, how transformative this process is going to be, and that it's going to bring people into a practical spirituality, one where they have midwifed their own divinity, their own souls, and they can take the tools that I teach in the class as well as all the things I've written out in my books and apply that to whatever they do, whether it be therapy or their family and their kids or yoga students or their music or whatever. So my partner right now, Jeremiah, he is helping me. He is going to help record it so that I could potentially put it online for people. And he was trying to help organize me. And he says, you know, you have this flow in your workshops and in your sessions, but I needed a little bit more linear. I needed a little bit more clean cut so that I can not have 80 hours of videos to edit. Like, I needed a little bit more clean cut. And my response to that was, I can't do that. This is just the way I flow, and this is just who I am. Yup, I said those words. So, you know, initially I was really triggered, right? I'm like, this is just who I am, because I felt criticized. I felt like he was telling me my work wasn't good, it wasn't helping people. You know, I took it so personal. And then as I was able to just to be with the charge, the anger, right? Be with the charge and take radical responsibility for my experience. See, I know that no one has the power to make me feel any certain way. I know that in my core. But thank God I know that, because even when I'm triggered, it's like I got to grab my hand and just shut up and then go sit with the anger. See, anger is very healthy. Anger is very, very good if we don't project it out. If I have like an FU kind of energy to my anger, then I am identifying in the victim archetype. Something can be done to me. Something can be taken away from me. However, if I can just let that anger burn and I can take ownership over it and be like, and even say out loud, this is not about so-and-so. This is not about this condition. This anger is acting as a fertilizer, a catalyst into more love, more fire, more passion within your own life. You know, so many people in spirituality become these placid cows that just don't have any fire and any passion, and they're afraid to hurt anyone. They're nicey nice. And nicey nice placid cows are not going to change the planet. They're just not. And as well as somebody who's angry, projecting, complaining. I'm not saying going into that either. And so taking a level of ownership over our experience, of course, has to be paired with a radical self-compassion and really realizing we are all learning and growing, no matter how far you are on the journey. If you've been doing inner growth work for a day, a month, or you've been doing it for 30 years, you are no different than me. We're all equally God. We're all equally imbued and empowered with all the qualities of God within us. However, we're not equally conscious. And what I mean by that is that being able to realize heaven, love, God as yourself means that when these emotions come up, not going into the reaction, the limiting belief, the pattern, the story, and being able to even laugh at it and go, oh, I'm triggered right now. Wow, this is good. Oh, yay. And I'm not joking. I'm serious. And anyone that knows me knows that's what I do. And I'll be like, oh, this is a bunch of bullshit, but you know what? It's like I'm not gonna not admit it's there. Right? And I'm just like you, I'm gonna use all my tools. It's like I'm less identified as the crap, even though it still comes up. And when I had Michael Beckwith on the show, I would say he's even more or less identified as the stuff that comes up, but he still lets it come up, right? He doesn't sit there and deny that it's there. And then once you stop denying that stuff's there and you use your tools of meditation, journaling, nature, working with a mentor, a skilled teacher, or just not skilled, I just mean one that's done their inner work, then you can begin to affirm and declare the good in your life, right? Then that's using your super conscious to affirm and declare the good. Too often, what I'm trying to say about the thinking positive is people are trying to think positive from the subconscious, from the data, as Dr. Hugh Lin from Ho'oponopono likes to call it, the data within us. He doesn't call it the fertilizer or the limiting beliefs. He calls it the data. I like that term. So if you try to affirm, be positive, so to speak, from a resistance to the charge, what are you doing, right? Let me just say that again so you can catch that. Affirm the positive when you're denying the charge. You're reacting to it. You're either trying to run from it or you're grasping it. And that's why self-love or surrender is really the first step. Self-love or surrender is what gets you through the door. And then when you're there, you witness all the craziness with gentleness. And then from there, again, I'm giving three steps, but it's a lifelong process. From there, then you declare the good. You actively declare the good in your life. You affirm the beauty, the prosperity, the love within you and around you. You do practices of looking for abundance in your life, all the pine needles on the tree, all the breaths of air, that there's no lack of air in this moment. You notice how your heart beats without you telling it to beat. You notice how your body has an ability to heal little scratches without you telling the scratch how to heal. You notice that there's a wisdom or a flow or a grace that's trying to operate in your life. And so that way of, and sometimes we're in all three steps, right? We're loving and accepting a charge that has come up. We're noticing all the dark, the shadow aspect of self. This is called the limiting belief pattern and story and chart and emotional charge. And then we're also declaring and affirming the good in our lives. So sometimes it's not like, again, even though I'm giving it in a very linear way, 1, 2, 3, it's actually it's sometimes you're doing it all at the same time. So what I've been talking about, the limiting belief, the emotion, the story, the pattern, I put that in the self-acceptance process book, and I call it the sleep, S-L-E-P, so story. It's not in the order that I described it, though. The story, the limiting belief, the emotion, and then the pattern to sleep. I laugh every time I say that. I love cheesy jokes. Oh. So it is apparent that Andrew Harvey will not be coming on the show today, but you know that it's actually great. A second time of getting to dance in his energy. I feel like he's already on the show right now with me. I watched his videos this morning and last night and reread some of my favorite books by him. The Hope is phenomenal if you've never read The Hope. And I was just talking to his assistant this morning, so I'm wondering if something happened, actually. I was just emailing, rather, his assistant this morning. She emailed me and let me know that he has, let me just see where her note is here. She let me know he has some new books coming out and that I haven't read. The Return to Joy, that sounds really powerful. And I'm just looking here for the email that I got from her. I'll have to go by memory. I must have hit a wrong button and sent it to my, I don't know where it went, but she was letting me know that he has a book, Return to Joy, Activism, Love, and Relationships. I'm not saying it correctly, but it's something similar to that. And that he also has a trip coming up in 2017 of taking people on a rites of passage, an initiation with lions. It's called the Warrior. I'm going to go on his website here, so I'm not misquoting everywhere. Sacred Warriorship. There it is, Sacred Warriorship. And so really, I'm looking forward to actually reading those books and looking at some of his new videos. If you go to andrewharvey.net, you can prepare yourself for when he does come on the show, so you can really even appreciate him more because, again, his work is so spectacular. I also found out in the email this morning that he has classes on the Shift Network, and so I'm looking forward to that as well. I mean, like I said, I'm a constant learner, and know that every single session that I have is really something within me that needs healing, that needs love, and that never stops. Never stops. And that's the good news, right? Because again, maybe this may sound like on some level painful, but it's not. Because what growing can be fun. Growth can be fun. What doesn't grow in nature dies, right? And when humans are not growing, they feel psychologically dead. And so growth is when you feel alive. Yeah, you may be hurting more than anything. You may be experiencing some of the most deepest pain, and maybe you are right now, the deepest pain you've ever felt in your life. Again, paradoxically, you may feel the most alive. And that's not because you're a masochist. It's because you are beginning to identify as the whole tree. You're beginning to see that there's preciousness, beauty, wisdom, joy, and hate, and anger, and sadness, and fear, and some crazy-ass thoughts within you. And that is all good. It's all good. None of it is bad. None of it makes you evil. None of it makes you a sinner. Now, isn't that one of the most loudest ringers you've ever heard? It actually is. It looks like Andrew's assistant. And so I'm just going to see what is happening here. Except as I am sinner. This is her, and I'm on the radio show right now with Anne. We are actively recording the show right now, so we will need to reschedule. Could I call you back? And yeah, because we have about 9 more minutes of the show, and I'll conclude up here, and then we can reschedule. Okay, will do. Thank you. Bye. All right, so you heard the call. And he had something come up, which is fine. I think today was actually an incredible, really incredible show of giving people the tools to free themselves. And I hope it really helped you. I know that these teachings have helped hundreds of people. And I know there's many teachings out there, but hopefully this flavor, my unique flavor, will give you some freedom, some acceptance, some love. So what I'd like to do with our remaining time, and I think we have about 10 minutes or so, is take you through a meditation that is going to allow everything we just talked about to integrate, to ground, And I hope this really helps you, because I know that we need all the support we can get. And so let's go ahead and begin to turn your focus inward and really pay attention to your physical sensations, your physical experience. Just notice the sensations, hot, cold, tension, light, heavy, that is happening in your feet, in your legs. Notice what's happening in your body, in your genitals, your lower belly, your chest. Just notice, right? As I explained why that's so powerful, just notice what's happening in your head, your arms. Now state, either silently in your heart or out loud, I am willing to love all parts of myself. And then breathe. So you're going to say it out loud or silently, and then declare it once and then breathe. And then now say it again in your heart or out loud, but use your name. Use your own name. So I'm willing to love all parts of, and then say your name. Beautiful. And what I've noticed in working with people over the years is that as they declare this again, those pieces that are hiding from us, hiding underneath the layers of the story, the pattern, and the limiting belief. So those things start, and then the emotional charge starts to show itself. So notice if any thoughts or charge came up, emotion came up, and then keep on breathing. Stay present. Beautiful. And then as you're continuing to breathe, watch and witness. I want you to say out loud, either to yourself or out loud, so silently to yourself or out loud, I'm willing to completely and totally forgive myself. Now, I'm speaking of a forgiveness that knows that everything is organized on a soul level, a forgiveness that knows there is no coincidences, and a forgiveness that knows that it's not about being pardoned or paying penance, that it's a forgiveness that knows that you are a soul, a spirit. So I completely and totally forgive myself. There you go. Keep on breathing. These words are picked very succinctly, and they have power to shift a lot within you. Now continue to breathe and witness. Watch the feelings. Watch the body sensations. And then what I want you to say is, as much as you can, declare, I love all parts of myself. Now, you're speaking from the eye of your being. That is the presence, the love, the beauty, the joy. You're not speaking from the little eye. So I am willing to, I love all parts of myself. Beautiful. And then one more question. Ask, what quality wants to emerge from all this? What quality wants to emerge within me? Maybe it's forgiveness. Maybe it's love. Maybe it's action. Maybe it's passion. What quality wants to emerge? Now, you may or may not get an answer, but if you keep on asking the question, an empowering question, you will eventually get the answer. What empowering steps can I take today from hearing today's session, today's show, from what's coming up in you right now? What are little baby steps, little empowering steps? Sometimes our mind will say, well, there's nothing I can do. I have to just leave my job and leave the country, and that's it. No, what are empowering, like, say baby steps, and not that they're even baby steps, they're actually huge in how they affect your life and your body, but it helps the mind. Again, these words are picked very carefully. It helps the mind to open to possibility, to open that there is opportunity constantly happening in your life. So ask that question, what are little baby steps that I can take? One or two things today. Beautiful. So you saw how we did that, is we stated our willingness to love all parts of ourselves, our willingness to forgive completely and totally, and then things just started coming up, right? Because then we're clearing off the distraction. We're clearing off the ways that we avoid ourselves. And then we asked what wanted to emerge. And then we ask, what baby steps can we take? Now, this is my own adaptation of Michael Beckwith's visioning process. And it's not his visioning process, but it has a flavor of the questions of what quality wants to come forward. So if you would like more information on that particular steps I just took, you can, of course, use that, or you can look up his visioning process. But I just wanted to give him credit on that. So you can also go to now, I'm just going to shift gears for a moment. You can, of course, go to my website, barbarawhite.com, BARBRAWHITE.com, and look up the self-acceptance process course coming up in January. You can also go and check out Andrew Harvey's work. Looks like I will be having him on very soon. And that will, you can prepare yourself to be listening for him. I will also have a third Thursday, the last workshop, happening in December, and you're welcome to come to that. It's from 6:30 to 9. And you're also welcome, if you'd like to have more information, you're welcome, or connect about the courses, give me a call here at Accepted As I Am Community Center in Plymouth. I do have some people that are actually going to be Skyping in for the program in January. I'm very excited. Actually, somebody from Spain. How exciting is that? It's an honor and a privilege that, that's not even the right word, but I'm grateful that this work is reaching out farther and farther and helping more and more people. It's a good thing. All right. Oh, and you can also, I forgot to mention one thing, go on Facebook page. I post a lot there. It's like my blog. It's Barbara White One. And if you look me up, I will friend you. So it's a great place to connect as well. So many wonderful places to connect. All right. Thank you so much for listening to this. And please pass on this information. Please use it. Please pass it on. Please pass on this radio show if you know anyone that would benefit from self-acceptance and from hearing Andrew Harvey when it comes on next time. Please let people know about that. Also, take notice on the Body, Mind, Spirit, Blog Talk Radio, Body, Mind, Spirit radio shows. Notice all the amazing meditations that are on there. Notice all the incredible people that are teaching and offering their gifts. Please make use of that. It's such an incredible resource that we have here in Michigan. And I hope to see you on the third Thursday, or hope to talk to you or connect with you on Facebook. And there is so much love for you. There's so much love that is waiting to support you, waiting to love you. It is constantly cheering us on, constantly saying grow, 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 constantly saying thrive, thrive, thrive. And just remember, it's never too late. It is never too late. It is never too late to don't fall into that, well, that's just not who I am BS, or that's just not my life. And now we've created this story that we just can't grow, and this is just how things are, right? Don't fall into that. You can change. You can grow. There's opportunity. There's good. There's so much. It's like my client yesterday. She was in a corporate job, and she wanted to shift and change. And I kept on telling her in the last couple of sessions about, so we were doing the inner growth and the things, exactly what I'm teaching here. And all of a sudden, she noticed there was a park across the street from her work. She had been walking around the building, circling it, as on her breaks, and she never saw this park across the street that she could be walking in. And I just thought that was so symbolic of how we live our life. We constantly in that state of resistance, fighting conditions, circling the problem. And when we finally bring a level of awareness and self-love, we see the park that has always been there. We see the answers that have always been there. We see the good that has always been there. And then we can take action, right? Love and action, as Andrew Harvey likes to call it, that sacred activist of taking action from our insights. And sometimes they're baby steps, and then sometimes they're big risks. But 90% of the time, they're baby steps that accumulate to a big change. Again, so much love for you, so much joy for you. I hope to hear from you. Please pass on this information. Know that the word angel means messenger of love, and you are an angel in human form. And knowing that you have a level of, you have a mandate from spirit to bring forth love on the planet. This is how we make the change. All right, take care. Much love. Bye.